Hello again. You're in the history room, and I want to welcome you for tuning in today. This is John Swearingen, and you just heard that really interesting intro by a gentleman named Chuck Mangione, a really well-known jazz artist back in, I'd say, the could have started maybe in the late 60s, but for sure big in the 70s and 80s. And I guess still out there just playing away with his trumpet that he uses. But that's a song called Feel So Good, and that seems to be played a lot in background, I guess, music or whatever, when you're, I guess, having people talk and hear that in the background. But it's kind of good relaxing for a day to hear a podcast like this. But today I want to kind of bring up something that I came across the other day, just kind of at work, and I came across something that just was on the shelf, and I thought, wow, what's this? And it was, and the title of this this little box here is what, I guess I'm actually holding the box, is called Civics Flashcards for Naturalization Test. And I thought, that's really interesting, and I thought, I wonder what they've got in here. So I undid the, opened the box, and it's through the, the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, which is through the Department of Homeland Security. And Homeland Security got set up because of after America faced really a great tragedy on September 11th, 2001, and it's hard to believe it's almost 20 years that's been, that happened. But the department was created later, and it created many things, out of it or something. But I guess the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services are, I guess, under this department. What I'm not sure what department they used to be under before. I guess would you want to be a citizen, but. I'm a native, so I've been here in America all my life. I did get a chance to live briefly one time in a country in the Middle East, in a country called, Qatar, and that's with a Q, and it looks like it'd be a cat Qatar or whatever, cat tar, but it's however you want to pronounce it, but it's Qatar for a job I did for a short time in my career. But but other than that, I didn't stay to be a citizen there, but I'm an American citizen here. But I guess all countries have, if you want to be a citizen of their country, I guess you have to go through, some type of testing or something that you have to go through that you're going to, be able to, pass an exam or something so you'll know. Of course, I came across a bunch of websites looking this up the other day, through the Department of Homeland Security for this U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, to get yourself set up, getting some of the, reading up on the website, and then if you want to be a citizen that you're here in America and you're not one and you want to be one, you go through the steps. I know there's another one called Immigration Direct, and I don't know. So that can kind of give you an idea. And then there's another site called USA.gov, or USA.gov, and it's a website that tells you about how to be a U.S. Citizen. But you probably really go through the one through the Homeland Security fill out all the paperwork. And I don't know if you have to, have to do anything. We have to, do any kind of monetary, matters, which would be having to pay for something, for getting this. Maybe you don't, but, or maybe the fee's really, small or something to get set up with this. But, since I'm a U.S. citizen, I never had to experience that. And like I said, it's so funny that looking at something I found on their website, the Department of Homeland Security, the other day, that excuse me, that looks like that, I guess back in 2019, because we're currently in 2020, but I guess 2019, it says, I guess that this department under the Homeland Security, that I guess they had about 34,000, I guess, new citizens who were able to celebrate and become citizens. I guess they always set it aside, I guess, for Constitution Day, which is September 17th, and I guess, and they also call it Citizenship Day, I guess, where I guess that's the day that kind of when, you know, that's the day that, you know, in September of 1787, at least in the United States, or the future United States, that I guess it was set up that, you know, that the document that we call the Constitution of the United States, I guess, was, you know, voted on, and it looks like it was accepted by the members of that body who were meeting in Philadelphia during that time for several months. And I guess September the 17th is the day that I guess it was ratified and agreed upon, and then just then it went into effect. But then, of course, then they had to then send it out to the certain, I guess, colonial states that later became United States, and they were mostly on the eastern side of the United States. Would be states like Massachusetts or New York or Maryland or Virginia or maybe North or South Carolina or Georgia were the ones who did the voting and decide, and they all agreed, and then it became, I guess, you know, the day. And then I guess over the, you know, several months of the following year in 1788 into, you know, so that I guess that with whatever there's a, I think, 3/4 you have to have of the states or whatever to agree. And so I guess these are all agreed upon. And then I guess by beginning of 1789 in March and April of that year, I guess that we became an actual, you know, our own country with our own, you know, states that were kind of united as one and have been around for over 230 years. But however, I guess with over the years, I guess with even running across a short little piece where I talked about, I think kind of like the, maybe going back to this, these flashcards that made me think about it, about, since I really never had to, you know, take something like this because I'm an ordinary citizen here in the United States, but I guess anyone who comes here from another country and wants to be, you know, a citizen here, that they, you know, they've got to go through all the procedures that you have to go through of either, you know, to fill out paperwork. And if there is kind of a fee you have to, you know, give, I'm not sure. And as part of sending something in or something, you know, but, you know, and I'm sure the process takes several years to get it going because I guess there's several people who do come here and want to come here legally. I mean, there are, you know, there's always people who want to go into a country legally or illegally, but that's just kind of how things are. And but and I know our country the last several years here in America always has to fight about the legal and I guess illegal issues of what what individuals who come from, or you know, come from other countries that, you know, no matter they're boarded up against, you know, the United States, two countries for sure, which would be Canada from the northern side of the United States and then Mexico from the southern side. And, you know, and if anybody from these countries want to come here, they've got to cross into, you know, I guess cross over the border and then come over here and then, you know, come to this country. But, you know, I guess then let whoever you have to, you know, I want to come over here as you know, and become a citizen of the United States and then go through the process over. Some people think they've got to sneak into the country during the day or even late at night and think like, well, you know, I'm gonna come over here and because I've got family living here and I'm just gonna live with them and then just stay here and then figure out how I can do if I do get work or not. But and I always got political with the issues about, you know, and I'm not here to get political about it, but just that they're just issues that people think that they've got to, like, oh, the political leaders like, oh, let's let these people in from other countries because they want to live here, and we'll just let them live for free, and we'll give them money, you know, we'll give them an ID card or a social security card, and then they'll be able to go to the hospital if they have to go to the hospital, or if they need to get any kind of benefits. And I don't know, it gets it's kind of wacky and kind of messed up of what the political leaders do in this country over other countries. But you really think you need to do it the right way, but that's how political leaders are. A lot of them are just empty suits anyway, I guess, whoever that they are that are in office, but they need to do the right thing, I guess, use their heart and their brain to do the right thing and make America, what it is. It is a mixture of a lot of people from other countries. We're like a big giant melting pot, and no matter, it might have started, whenever the first person wants to come over here from another country, once we were, actually United States in the late 1780s, besides people coming over before, I guess, when we had our independence from Britain in the mid 1770s. But just looking at these cards just made me think about, wow, look, here's some cards here. They're flash cards that can prepare a person who has to take his, you've got to take a test to become a citizen, to pass that part of it, besides maybe you fill out all the paperwork. And so you think about somebody who comes over here from another country, whether they're from Mexico, Canada, they're maybe from any of the countries in Europe, or they come from maybe countries maybe down from like maybe Australia, or they want to come in from maybe any of the countries from the Middle East, or from countries like China or Japan or India or Russia or the countries in South America or Mexico or where they want to come from. Where there's people who live and they say, yeah, I've had enough of living in my country and it's hard to live here and I want to live somewhere else. And I hear that America is the place to come because, like, everybody wants to go to America. And I bet some people go to Canada too, or maybe some people who leave, either here in the United States want to go live in Europe or something like that, they feel like they could do that if they can, have a good life, because everybody wants to have a good, safe life and pursue whatever dreams they have. And then, of course, hope they can live a long time with having their, having good health care. And health care is another story for another time. But we all want something in our life if we're given a long life, and we want to be able to do things. So I'm sure the ones who come over here, like we, like you read stories about people come over here in the 19th century, or maybe the very end of the 18th century when we were finally becoming a country, and the last 10, 11 years of us being, in the 18th, century of us being a country. People say, I want to go live over there because, I don't like it here. And the king or the queen or the dictator, who's ever running the country, is like, they're just tearing up the country and they don't care about people. And, they make us work these long hours and we don't get the freedom and we don't get our holidays. And looks like that country over there looks like a, like they say, and these little, whoever says it, whether if it was, somebody a long time ago, like Jonathan Edwards in a maybe a preaching sermon he was giving, or which is, I guess, Ronald Reagan later says later in the 1980s. But I guess that America is like this city on this hill that's got a bright light, and no matter if, it goes back to Jonathan Edwards or somebody before him, and the, I don't know, 1700s or so before we were a country. But other than that, people want to kind of live somewhere and live free, free and safe and all that. So with these, just going back to these cards, I kind of looked up something and kind of was curious about, about people when they started. And it looks like, I think, mostly, I guess, in the, that there were exams in the 19th and 20th and early 20th centuries. But it looks like a lot of these were done, like when you would go to, of course, on the East Coast, besides what there might have been other places that had like a port. But like if you're like coming up and you came in from Europe and unless you're coming in from like China or Japan and you maybe landed over on the West Coast. But with the East Coast, you have it where, you would have to go and, and I'm sure come in and like to like an Ellis Island that they still have that people can visit. and you know, you can see what's you know, see all the methods of, you know, bringing in people and you know, and then, you know, that then they've got a, you know, the person who's at the front, you know, when you're checking in, and they've had them in movies and stuff like that where they're having to, you know, check in with the new person, you know, the person that's, you know, like at the counter, and you're having to let them know, like, you know, what's going on, and, you know, do you want to come over here in this country, and, you know, this is your family, and you have whatever papers you have that you came off, and you came off the boat, or ship, or whatever you were on, and, just all the different things that are out there, you know, that you have to go through to, you know, say, hey, you know, I want to be a citizen of this country. And of course, you may not be speaking English real well. Maybe you have somebody with you that can interpret, you know, speaking English. But it looks like the days of the 19th and early and then early 20th century that there was there were exams that were given, you know, later, I guess, after you get to America and then go through all the steps. But I guess a lot of them were not kept or whatever, because I guess they were like maybe done like it at courthouses, that they were done like orally, that you had to like, where it'd be like an oral exam that they would ask you like a question like, you know, like maybe, I don't know if this would be one, but it'd say like, you know, it says like name one branch or part of the government. And so you have a variety of different choices where you can say, well, you have like the legislative branch or the executive branch or the judicial branch. And the legislative is our U.S. Congress. And then who are the members who make, you know, they make the laws of the country. And then the executive branch, where you have like the president of the United States, the one who is elected every 4 years. And then of course in the courts of you know, the United States, not just the Supreme Court. But that's just something that was a question they asked, where I guess, again, I'm sure these individuals, you know, were given a chance to, like, you know, maybe study, you know, from a book or something of the 19th into the 20th. But it looks like it probably depends if maybe certain courthouses where people had to go to in the 19th and 20th century, that these exams were all oral, that maybe there might be some kind of record that might have been written down about maybe how many people, you know, were able to take this and they passed it, and then they went from there, and then you know, they then were given, like, you know, some kind of certificates and, like, you know, you've passed and so you can go forward. Of course, you've had all these, like, you know, these different kind of laws, like, you know, like in, I think, the 1880s with, I guess, the Immigration Act, about, you know, when, you know, about allowing, like, I guess, so many people to arrive from other countries to come to America. And then I know we fight it more in the, I guess, in the you know, in the 20th century, was in the 19-teens or 1920s and 30s and stuff. And it looks like, I think, like around like 19, or I'm sorry, in the late 19th century, which looks like it was more, I guess, and I think more like, I think that was like the, like 1891, that I guess the Congress passed, I guess, a piece of legislature where it then created the Bureau of Immigration. That was kind of then one of the earliest steps taken to complete, you know, naturalization, you know, for the person who was going to be, you know, the immigrant, you know, the naturalization, you know, for the immigration process, and then allow, you know, then to make it more strict of over, I guess, who would be able to come to this country and not. And then I guess the following year in 1892, since that was 1891, I guess Ellis Island up, you know, up on the East Coast near New York City, I guess it opened up. And I guess that's the place where you can see nearby, I guess, that there's a actual, you know, the big Statue of Liberty that was put there like in the 1880s. And, you know, about trying to be able to, you know, that they could see that when they came in or something, you know, to come to, you know, America, I see a big giant statue that was kind of there for, I guess, the immigrants who were coming in from the ships that were coming in from Europe or mostly on that side of the country, and, you know, or whether they come from Russia or something like that, or any of the, maybe the countries from Africa that were coming in or whatever that were wanting to come to America, you know, whatever, you know. I mean, I don't have to get to think about what comes to Africa because I know we had the slave issue, and I know we, that was just, that was, you know, some centuries before, I guess, into the 17th and 18th century. But it's just people who came from that side of the country that would come, and I guess they would see that statue, which later be called the Lady Liberty, but I guess it became the Statue of Liberty. But just kind of going back to just because all these, you know, that started, the testing, and if it was maybe if 1881 started it, you know, like setting this up for Bureau of Immigration, and then see about then setting up these exams for when people came. And these cars just made me kind of think about what I'm just having to say here in this podcast today, that just made me think about, wow, you know, look at all these cards and these questions. I mean, like, here's one that said, question where it says, if both the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes the president? And at this time, it's saying that it would be the Speaker of the House, which would be the Speaker of the House and the representatives. So that's who would... you know, be in charge, the next person in line. And it's saying, you know, also another question is like, if a person studied this, and they said, I guess that if these questions were asked this way, it says, where it'd say, who is the commander in chief of the military? And it would say it would be the President of the United States would be. And so it's just got some really interesting questions here. Just kind of made me think about, I guess, that, you know, why I'm bringing this up today about, you know, I guess we don't think about it when you if you were born in this country, or maybe you weren't, but maybe one of your parents were, and maybe you came from another country, that then I guess you know that you might be from another country, but then I guess your parents, like one of them could be from the United States of America, and eventually you go live there, so I guess you kind of have citizenship, I guess, in wherever country that you're other parent was from, and then the one that's from the United States, where if you do eventually come to the United States, but I guess you're born here, you don't have to go through these steps, and the process is what I'm breaking up. And I guess it's just interesting that we don't think about it with having to take a test. But I guess so many each year, I guess, have to, you know, once the process is taken care of, that they get to, you know, take the test. But I guess, you know, nowadays, I guess there's, I guess, you know, tests where it's on, I guess, on a paper format. Or, of course, a couple years ago, I remember getting online and going to a website, just thought I'd test it myself. And I did pretty good because it seemed like, I know, that it was some questions I already knew about maybe, you know, that what our three branches were, you know, are here in America, which are the, you know, get the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. But, you know, but again, some people don't know this, and all this is also part about civics, which they say a lot of stuff they don't teach that in school anymore, just like public school, when they need to, which should be, you know, taught with history, you know, because you need to know your country, you need to know your country's past and what's kind of going on currently, because then you can know, well, what we did in the past, we can learn, and then hope we don't, like they say, you know, you don't want to, if you don't learn from the past, you'll just, I guess, make more mistakes, I guess, and there'll be more problems. But but it's just interesting to think about with you know, all these questions in here. And and it's saying, here's like a question about, we elect a U.S. representative for how many years? And this is like from the House of Representatives. So that's one of the two bodies that are part of Congress. So, and it's just asking, you know, we elect somebody like this member for how many years, and it shows in the back two. So they only get 2 years, while a U.S. senator, you know, will get 6 years. So it's just kind of what was kind of stated in the Constitution. If you go later on and want to study the Constitution after listening to this, to get a good feeling about it. But yeah, the immigration with people coming to America, that all countries face, that you really have to realize when you have more people want to come here, you also hope that there's enough land for everybody who wants to come here, because you want to make sure there's enough land. And that, for one thing, I'd say we'll all have to, you know, work together, because you can have somebody come over here, like it's happened before, and they could say, yeah, I want to be a citizen and stuff, and then they go through the process, and then they become one. And they may one day not say something, just snaps, and then they, you know, in their head, and they go like, well, you know, I don't like America anymore, and it's not been good to me lately, you know, for the last year or two or so, and I want to do something to hurt America. So, yeah, some people can do that. But then that's why most countries, like we have in America, that we have like a, we have things from becoming chaotic and just crazy and everything that won't get out of hand, that we have to have law enforcement. So every country's got law enforcement, no matter what people think about the, you know, having law enforcement, having whether they're the police or they're from the sheriff's department or, you know, or whoever they are, that, you know, or the National Guard, or just somebody who's something there to kind of help out. Because if we didn't have any of this stuff, you know, these people that were out there, you know, our country would be very chaotic, and it'd just be running wild in the streets. And you know, America right now is going through some crazy times here in 2020 with people wanting to just burn up everything and knock down statues and just tear up everything. And I guess people want to tear up the Constitution and say, we don't want this country to exist anymore. And that's just, they're just a group of people that feel that way. But that's just whether they've been citizens all their life, or they came here to become one and they still want to be a problem. But that's just kind of what things are in life and so forth. And but just looking at these cards, just maybe it's just kind of, you know, these little flash cards that could prepare a person, just kind of make think about, wow, you know, you really have to kind of dig up and look at some history to know, like, you know, that you know, that you want about people who want to come to America. And yeah, they, if you want to be a citizen, you got to go through the steps of filling out paperwork. I guess once you let the I guess the Department of Homeland Security, unless you have to go through your your local you know, city officials to let them know what you want to do, or your state officials, but I'm sure you reach out to your member of the House of Representatives or the member of the Senate, you know, that go to Washington, you know, or there, and ask them. Or maybe you can even check with your local state government what they can tell you. But, you know, but now with the internet, you can just get online and begin to browse and see what you find. But it looks like through the, I guess, the Department of Homeland Security now, that I guess they're the ones that you go through if you need to know all the steps. It tells you on their website to look at. And then I guess if you have to print up some forms, let's say they have online forms you could fill out, and then I guess you could save it on your computer, and then whatever you have to then send off, that you would maybe have a copy for yourself, but then you'd send a copy off to someone else, and then they can process it once it goes to whoever's going to process it. And then if there is a fee attached, that you, I guess, maybe you pay a certain amount of money, and then you go through the process, and then when I guess you get like something in the mail, whether you get it in the mail or you get something as an email to say, okay, I know it's been a couple years ago, we've already processed your information, we need to see about having you, like, you know, come to your local, like maybe your largest city in whatever county you live in, and say you have to meet with somebody at this, like a courthouse, whatever, just meet with them to talk to about what the next steps are. Or they'll call you on the phone, or you get an email, but you probably would have to talk to somebody so you can get some information about next steps to be. Maybe you got to prepare for a test, you know, maybe a few years where you could do all this. And then, like I said, with these flashcards, you can go through them over, like, you, maybe there'll be books that you can get too if you don't have flashcards to give you ideas, because I guess they'll be having these questions on there. And, you know, it's just, there's just so many interesting questions you look at. And this is one for, it says, what is the capital of your state? And it says answers will vary is what it says, because each state has its own, you know, state capital in whatever city it is. And, of course, Washington, D.C. is our nation's capital, and it's in a section they call the District of Columbia. And that's actually originally that area or territory was part of, I guess, Maryland at one time. So, you know, but that's the nation's capital. But But each state, and there's 50 states here in America, and you'd have to kind of know your state capital. Not so you have to go to that, but other than that, there's the process. You do the paperwork once you see what's on the website of the Department of Homeland Security. Fill it out. Been a couple of years. Yeah, you might be given a green card or some kind of card to work here and live here, and then I'm sure maybe you're given some kind of an ID or something, where maybe you have the opportunity that you can, use an automobile or something to drive around, unless you have family that has to drive you around, or you get, take public transportation to get to your job or wherever you have to go to. But other than that, you just go through all the steps of having to, prepare by either using these flashcards when you have to take the actual exam, which would be on paper. And I guess maybe they give some of it's in oral and some of it's written, what you have to write out or sign or maybe fill in like a little circle, when you're reading the question, it tells you, it gives you the question, you have A, B, C, and D like that. But of course, a couple years ago, I'd get online and I'd say, maybe you can do it online too, but I guess you probably be with a whole group of people that you're taking it. So there'll be somebody who can monitor your testing, that they don't just see that you do this out of your home and you've got a book right in front of you, when it's probably not going to be an open book test like you would do when you're in school, whether it's public school or college, wherever you go, when they put these open book tests. But overall, it just kind of gave it a better insight about that, that as a U.S. citizen, I don't think about this because I've never had to take this because I live here. And for the one time living in another country, I did pursue that to say, yeah, I want to live here the rest of my life and leave the United States of America, which is really a great country. America is a great country that people want to come to. And no matter all the craziness that's going on in America and the world, with COVID going on, and which that will go away eventually, and then people just going crazy and rioting in the streets and tearing up stuff, and then certain political officials don't do anything. They just kind of just they turn their back and say, "Eh, let them do it. They'll eventually stop at one point," and then they don't care because you got other citizens who are want to not, get hurt or anything like that, where you don't want them to get, injured or killed or whatever when people are going crazy. But it's a lot of stuff. And then the politics, always kind of, gets the fire started more too, where it's like doing, like I said, when you got a fire going and you don't want to throw like gasoline or some kind of liquid like that that's going to maybe inflame it and make it get larger, like that. But it gives you an insight about, think about that, if you're a U.S. citizen, you don't think about naturalization because you're already living here, but unless maybe your parents came here and they had to do this, or grandparents or somebody many years ago, and maybe you're listening to this and say, well, yeah, I'm an American, I was born here, or I'm was born in another country but my parents are American, I was born in another country but we're American, so I'm going to go back to America and stuff like that. But if you're just somebody foreign that wants to come to America or any country, that they would have to have these naturalization laws and for immigrants who want to come here and do the right thing. And so these cards just kind of gave me a really interesting perspective to think about today. But, hope you learned a lot here at the History Room today and came to visit me, John Swearingen, to kind of give you a little insight about this. And hope you have a great day, and things are great for you in your future, but America's still a great place, and no matter what our politics are and our different ways we think about things, because our ideologies are so different with politically they are over our religious ideologies, since we have a variety of different people from other countries who have brought their religion, which again, that's why I said you study American history and get a good feel about the mixture of people that are here, that there's a variety of people here, and it's kind of as in a lot of countries. And yes, some countries are worse of how they are to how they treat their people. But America's really a really great place to be. It's just we've got our problems, but maybe not as bad as other places do. So this little piece here I thought I'd give, just kind of talked about it, kind of gave you an understanding about it, that, that what it goes back to about, letting the immigrants come here and how they want to, kind of maybe, I guess the word assimilate, if that's the right word, where they can kind of transition into like being like from one country then to actually then be a U.S. citizen, and what you have to go through, where you have to take a naturalization test of questions that are asked you, besides filling all the paperwork. So look into it, research it. There's a lot of websites. Not to say you can find it on the U.S. website, the Department of Homeland Security, but there's other websites if you dig around. And hope you got a lot from this, and there'll be future podcasts coming here in the History Room. So have a great day, and we'll talk soon.